Again, let us turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 13. Beginning in verse 8, reading through verse 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We're continuing tonight to look at scriptures which are in the practical part of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It began in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, this practical part did, when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and he is writing to believers, to children of God, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Last week, we looked at the first 7 verses in this chapter 13, dealing with the responsibilities of those who are in the kingdom of God, and yet we live in the kingdoms of this world. Those who are in the kingdom of God, they've been translated by the power of God in the new birth. They've been taken out of a kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son, those who trust and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we live in this world. We're not of the world, and our Lord prayed that we be not taken out of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt. And we looked at the word of God that tells us our responsibility to the civil rulers. We ended with verse 7, which speaks of supporting by paying taxes and tribute. That is, we are to support those who are ministers of God, both with respect and also financially. Now, the verses that we are looking at tonight that we just read deal with Christians and debts. Christians and debts. He deals with 2 kinds of debts. First, the Christian and monetary debt. Owe no man anything. It's an easy transaction for the Apostle Paul to go from showing that we are to pay tribute or pay taxes to support civil authorities, now to admonish believers, owe no man anything. Some have taken this to mean that God's people should never have any financial debt. Now, there is no question it is a great blessing not to have any debt. But to teach that it is sinful is not the teaching of the Word of God. For instance, our Lord gave 2 parables, I believe it was, in which talents were given out. And the one who gave out the talents represented the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. And he gave talents to 3 different men, 1 man 5 talents, 1 man 2 talents, and 1 man 1 talent. Now, those talents were the man who gave them out to the people, whoever they were. They were still his. They were given to them to use so that when he returned, there would be increase. So you can't take this verse of Scripture and teach that the Bible teaches that all debt is sinful. You just can't do that. Some, you know, they've tried to teach socialism from the Bible, trying to say that men must have all things in common. And I think one of the reasons they have taught this is because early on in the book of Acts, the people sold everything there in Jerusalem and brought it and laid it at the feet of the apostles. And everyone had everything in common. But remember this, our Lord had told those what was going to happen to them in Jerusalem, what was going to take place there. It was all going to be burned up. It was all going to be destroyed. And it was. But the scriptures do not teach anything like socialism. And you can see that even from the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments that Paul quotes here in verse 9 refutes that very idea of all men having everything in common, because one of the commandments is, thou shalt not steal. That refutes the idea that there should be no private ownership. I and you, we are to keep our hands off the property of others, and they are to keep their hands off of our property. Thou shalt not steal. In fact, we are not even to covet that which belongs to someone else. Look back with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 5. I think this is so well illustrated here early on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, there was two people in the church. One was named, the man was Ananias, and his wife Sapphira. The scripture says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now they owned a piece of land, and they sold it. They sold it and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you've sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Peter makes it very clear in his words to Ananias that the property was his and his wife. They could sell it or they could keep it. And once they sold it, they could have taken all of it and gone on a cruise. They could have taken a vacation if that had been what they had desired to do. They were killed because they lied to God. They lied to God, the Holy Spirit. What a testimony here also we have to the deity of God, the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They tempted the Lord. You know, many religions, cults, of course, but they say, well, the Holy Spirit's not a person, just a power. No, the Holy Spirit is a person, just as much as the Father and just as much as the Son. Persons in the Godhead, the Blessed Trinity. But the point being It was in their hands to do what they wanted to. It was their money. They could do what they wanted to with it. But they agreed together to keep back a part and then tell the apostles, well, we've given all. This is what we got for the property, and we're giving it all to the Lord. If you rent a house, let me try to illustrate this. I've rented houses many times in my life until we moved back to the States in 1977. Every house we lived in, we rented. We rented a house. It wasn't ours. The house wasn't ours. And if the house was mortgaged that we lived in, I don't believe any of them were, but if they were, I had no obligation with that mortgage company. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. My only obligation was to pay the rent. To pay the rent. And I'm thinking about this afternoon. I used to go when we lived in Mexico. We lived in one house for about 9 years, I believe. And I paid the rent to the father of the man who owned the house. The man who owned the house lived in another state. And the father, an older man, I'd go down to the Ford dealership there. That's where he worked as a kind of a watchman. And every month, give him, I think it was 900 pesos, first of the month. That was my obligation. That was it. And this is what Paul is teaching. Owe no man anything. Pay your debts as you have agreed. Whatever you have agreed to, then pay that. Dr. John Gill, his comment was, for men industriously to run into debt and take no care to pay, but live upon the property and substance of others is scandalous to them as men, and listen, and greatly unbecoming professors of religion, and brings great reproach upon the gospel of Christ. And it does. We've heard, I personally do not think I've known any preachers who didn't pay their debts, but I've heard back over the years of some who had that name, they didn't pay their debt. And what an awful testimony, right? What a reproach that brings upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for a preacher and for every Christian. Now, I read this past week the words of a man who pastored a very large church in a city in the northeastern part of our country in the middle part of the 20th century. And evidently, he counseled a number of couples and people in the church there over this matter of debt and paying their debts. And he came up with this advice he gave to people. And I thought it was good advice. He said this, on payday, most people used to get paid on Friday. On payday, first of all, give thanks to the Lord for the money he has allowed you to earn. First of all, you bring your check home, you and your wife, give thanks unto the Lord. God's given you the strength to work. God's given you the wisdom, the knowledge to earn. Thank the Lord because he's the one who's done this. Ultimately, the glory goes to him. Thank the Lord, first of all, for the money he has allowed you to earn. Next, he said, separate that which you would give to the Lord. That's the second thing. Separate that which you would give to the Lord. And then pay your bills. And if it's not enough, you've thanked the Lord for the money, you've separated that which you are going to give to the Lord, and then you pay your bills, if it's not enough, ask yourself this question. God has promised to meet my needs. He has. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God has promised to supply all my needs. Is this a need or greed that I'm dealing with? A need or greed? Am I living above what I should? Now remember, he's talking to believers, and I'm speaking to believers. Make the necessary adjustments, he said. But above all things, pay your bills. And then he added this, and you might be surprised what the Lord will do. And I've heard the testimony of men in our congregation back years ago when, as new believers, they began to give. They wanted to give, and they thought it. I remember one brother said, I just thought it was impossible. There was no way we would be able to do this. And my wife said, let's try it. Let's try it. And from that time until when he was giving his testimony, he had always been able to give unto the Lord, and the Lord had always supplied their needs. I know this. You cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. I don't care who you are. You cannot outgive God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what the scripture says. So that's the first debt Paul deals with, financial debts. Pay your debts. Owe no man anything. And then secondly, the Christian and his debt of love, which is a debt that is never, never, never fully paid. Love one another. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, a little over 2,000 years ago now, love came into this world. Because he is God and God is love. God in the flesh came into this world. Love came into this world. The Bible reveals that Christ loved and died for his people, for you, if you're one of his children tonight. He died for you, he died for me when we were enemies, enmity with God. He died for us when we were godless. He died for us when we were hopeless. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul gives a description, and he includes himself in this description of all men. He said, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I can say amen to that. Every unbeliever is foolish. Every unbeliever is foolish. We sometimes, the Apostle Paul said, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. We can say amen to that. Disobedient. Deceived. Oh, we were deceived, weren't we? We thought everything was all right between us and God. And, you know, this matter of salvation, there's nothing to it, nothing important about it. I'm better than somebody else. We can always find somebody we are better than, in our opinion at least. We were deceived. That's all you can say. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and listen to this, and hateful and hating one another. That's the description, my friends, of the world apart from Christ. Hateful and hating one another. And you see the envy. We see it in our nation, don't we? The people envy those that are wealthy, people who've worked maybe. Surely they've worked and they've earned. And people are envious of them and think it's only right that they take what's theirs and it become ours. Envy, malice, hateful, and hating one another. The natural movement of man without Christ is always toward himself. Always toward himself. The supernatural movement of the supernatural man, that is the believer in Christ, is outward. It's toward others. When we truly know God, we love one another. The Apostle John, in his first letter, has a lot to say about love. He wrote, "We love him because he first loved us." You love God tonight? You know you do so because why? Because he first loved you. In fact, he loved you before there ever was a star in the sky. He loved you, my friends, from all eternity because his love is eternal love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He also wrote, if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. That's all you can say, John said. He's a liar. Doesn't matter how he boasts about how much he loves God and sings, "Oh, how I love Jesus." If he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Also, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, God's children, I said, when we were lost, everything was coming to us. Everything was for us. But when a person is converted by the grace of God, then it's outward. It's to others. We love our families. We love our families with a deep, deep love. I remember hearing this many years ago, but a young preacher told an older pastor one time, he said, "Preacher, I believe that I'm guilty of loving my wife too much." The old preacher said, "No, I don't think so, son." The Apostle Paul said, "Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." We love our family, our wives, our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We love them. That's a love that's distinct from other loves, but there's likewise a deep love that goes out to our friends and to the members of the body of Christ and ultimately to all men. I think of it as throwing a pebble into a body of water and you've got one ring, and then it gets larger, and then it gets larger, and it gets larger. Yes, we love God's children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, but our love doesn't end there. It extends to all men. The Apostle John also wrote this about love. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let us love indeed. I want us to look now at some ways we as Christians are to love one another indeed, our deeds. First of all, if you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To the brethren in the church at Philippi, the apostle exhorted, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." This is what this verse is telling us. Consider one another. Love indeed. And in truth. Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Consider one another. Look not every man upon his own things, but every man also on the things of other. In other words, it's never to be my way or the highway. Another translation of this verse in Hebrews is, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Have you heard of a chain reaction? That's what this verse is speaking about, a chain reaction. Because we consider others, they increase in love and good works, and this reacts on us, and we increase in love and good works. A chain reaction. Love one another. Consider one another. We might say that love begets love. Look at another verse with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So first of all, we are to consider one another. We're to love indeed. Consider one another. Think about how our conduct will affect somebody else. I think sometimes people who are not faithful in attendance in the worship services, they should consider, they should think about this, how their conduct affects others, how it can be a discouragement to other believers. Well, notice here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, comfort one another. Comfort, wherefore comfort one another with these words. How are we to comfort one another? With these words. With these words. You say, what words? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know, we've all heard a lot of maxims of this world. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who had a lot of those sayings. In fact, he printed a book about those different sayings. And most of them are good, I'm sure. But let me tell you, there's nothing that comforts a child of God like the Word of God. God's Word. Comfort ye one another with these words. And the only way we can comfort one another with the Word of God is if we study the Word of God and commit the Word of God to our memory, to our hearts. All right, notice another one in 1 Thessalonians, this time in chapter 5. And verse 11, edify one another. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. And notice how the Apostle Paul was able to write to this church, even as also you do. Edify one another, even as also you do. What a blessed thing it was to be able to add that to the exhortation. All right, look in Philippians chapter 2. Here's another one, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Esteem other better than themselves. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Better than themselves. You know, this is especially brought out to us if you look at what the Apostle Paul writes about himself, and look at these in a chronological order, in the order in which he wrote these things. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he wrote, I am the least of the apostles. Well, how many apostles were there? 12. I'm the least of the apostles. But then in Ephesians, he wrote, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Well, there's a lot of saints, least of all saints. But then lastly, in 1 Timothy, he writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, here's the chief, I am chief. That's what this verse is telling us, isn't it? Let each esteem other better than themselves. This is loving indeed and not just in word. And one other place, if you will, in Galatians chapter 6. And you know that matter about encouraging one another. I've had some experiences, I'm sure everyone here has, when you've been greatly encouraged. And you don't forget that, do you? You don't forget that. I remember one day when I was very discouraged, and two of my friends who were pastors, they just happened by. They just happened by. It's kind of like Ruth. Her hap was to go into the field of Boaz. God had arranged that from all eternity. And those two men, my friends, one of them especially, did something that was such a great encouragement to me at that time. And I haven't forgotten it. And I trust that I won't forget that. Encourage one another. We should work at that. Showing our love for each other. Encourage one another. It's easy to find fault, isn't it? It's easy to criticize. But we're to love. And here's this last one here in Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Paul said in our text, isn't it? Love is the fulfillment of the law. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love sees the need of another and shares the burden, and in this way fulfills the law of Christ. That last verse in Romans 13 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I pray that the Lord would bless these thoughts to all of us here tonight. There's some practical things that the apostle has given us. Okay, David.
Let's all stand. Let's turn to hymn number 441. 441. Let's sing.